Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Great moments in history have begun with a question.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
And what kind of hair product does Mitch Moss use? But Follow the Money wants to know.
Do you concur?
Concur with
what, sir?
Do you concur?
All right, we heard from Sal Pell earlier. Chance of rain may be late in the Super Bowl. Some models are calling for rain. Most say it's going to stay away from the Bay Area. We don't want rain on Sunday. Do you concur?
So you are actually seeing that in some of the forecasts.
Some models are calling for
some
rain.
Some models are.
Yes.
Why don't we want it? I can't concur until I know your reason why.
Sloppy conditions impact the game. Key turnover. It was a weird situation in the Miami Super Bowl. While it was great for the Prince performance, it turned into a slop fest. Also,
more on that in about 7 minutes.
Okay.
So I actually don't mind because I hate the idea of playing this game in a dome stadium every single year.
Okay.
I don't want that to happen.
Are you okay with a Super Bowl at Lambeau?
1,000%.
You're okay with that. Although, remember, there were so many anti-New York people.
Oh, I know.
When it was in New York.
I wanted it to dump 8 feet on that game.
Okay.
Now, so right. People are going to come back and say, clearly not enough hotels in the Green Bay area. That part I get. Like, the infrastructure is not there to probably host it at Green Bay. But if you want to put it in Kansas City, Denver, you want to put it in Soldier Field or the new one they're going to get, I'm fine. That doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the part that I don't want to happen, and this would be impossible, is that if we get rain and that impacts the game, so many people are going to piss and moan about it, and that part I don't want to hear.
Drops, low scoring, turnover.
So that's why I don't want to see
sloppy
rain.
Game. Don't want the weather to decide it. Mm-hmm. Fair. Well, we just went through this with a couple well-known media people that you can't play in the snow. I mean, you got to go neutral sites because it was, quote, unwatchable Sunday in the AFC title game.
Can you imagine if we had to move these games to all neutral sites based on people not wanting to actually be affected by, there's going to be half an inch of snow or, I don't know, that really sucks.
We'll never get another trade like the one we just had with the Cavs and the Clippers. By the way, Harden's playing tonight. I can't believe it.
I can't find props on him yet.
Either. Both guys all-stars, but you traded a 36-year-old and went up and increased your odds. Better odds to win the title now and improved your team for a 26-year-old. Do you concur?
I would like to say yes, but it's the NBA, so I have to say never. I can't concur on that. I mean, the Luka trade did happen a year ago. And the team that traded Luka away traded Anthony Davis today.
Yeah, come on. That guy was just...
Oh, he's...
His explanation. Luka's, gets hurt. No one gets hurt more than Anthony Davis.
Okay.
And he played 29 games for you.
I can't concur because you have another question coming up here that ties into it, though, Pauly.
Okay.
And why I think we could see, but I don't want to spoil it here.
Players have too much power in the NBA?
Ding, ding, ding.
Do you concur?
1,000% on that one as well.
It goes back to Barkley's tirade. While I love the NBA, it's like you probably got women in every city.
Probably.
A lot of these guys are making 40. Yeah, they reach out to you in your DMs, no problem. They wait for you at the hotel room. You're right. Trying to hit the lottery. You're making $40 million a year. Yet you're upset and miserable, and when something doesn't go your way, you demand a trade.
That's right.
And you get your way every time, like James Harden did yet again.
Yeah, that's why I have to say that we probably will see a trade like that again, is because the players have way too much power here.
At least you got to honor your contract at least halfway through, I'm saying.
Is life, like you said, is life really that bad for you?
I know.
How much money has James Harden made? I'm not even want to look it up because I'm going to vomit. It's $300 million, right. Probably
so
more than that.
That's what started this. Like, the Clippers weren't going to extend him. He got wind of it, demands a trade. They knew his track record. He was going to shut it down. They were given no choice. And now they just blew up the season.
Yep. So I can...
Because he needs to get that extension that he wants. Cleveland allegedly promised him that. And he's 36 years old and his last chance to chase a nice contract.
So think about what it is like for basketball players on the road, pretty much any sport, right? When you're going to be playing that many games and you go away on these 5-game trips, baseball, whatever. I talked to a UFC fighter who had, I don't want to say a cup of coffee because he was a champion. And on the air, he told me that he would put the girls that he would get with, and we label them by the state that they were from, because he didn't want his girlfriend to know, or his wife. I don't think he was married. I think it was girlfriend.
Yeah.
He didn't want his girlfriend to go through his phone and recognize, well, who's Amber, who's Elizabeth, whatever. It would just be...
I read Vince Neil and Motley Crue did something like that.
Yeah, it would be Florida. That would be the name of the girl. It would be, so when he was in a fight, going to a fight in Florida, or when he was fighting in California, that's what he would label the girl as in his phone.
Yeah.
And it was like pretty much all 50 states were represented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good job. Good job all around. The old days aren't nearly as good as we think. Do you concur? See, come on.
Okay.
Come on. Think about... But think about how good you have it, especially kids. Yeah, you had to walk to school in a blizzard. You had to get up to change the channel. Think about that. Everything's a click. The TV shows are so good. All the streaming, everything. You should be able to, you could smoke on an airplane. You could smoke in restaurants.
Those are the good old
days.
Come on.
I mean, think back the 70s and 80s and compare it today. Give me a break.
Okay, so here's my leading example for this. You're going to get this every single Super Bowl week. Whoever is coming up and performing, people are going to bitch about it, right? You're never going to make everybody happy.
Right.
But the one Super Bowl show that people seem to remember in their brain, that it's the best of all time, and I love the guy. I've said this recently. My biggest regret was not going to see him play in Las Vegas when he had a residency. I went back and watched Prince's Super Bowl halftime show on Sunday. I'm here to tell you, despite exquisite guitar play, captivating, he was one of the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that Prince, with all of his hits, had a set list of... The intro was, "We Will Rock You," into, okay, "Let's Go Crazy," of course.
He played Queen, "We Will Rock You"?
That was a instrumental.
Okay.
"Baby, I'm a Star," "Proud Mary," into 1999, okay.
Yeah.
Then, like 30 seconds, I think, "The Way It Felt," and "All Along the Watchtower." Why would Prince play, like, 3 minutes of "Best of You" from Foo Fighters? So he gave us "Let's Go Crazy," 1999, "Purple Rain." Where's when the Doves Cry? Where's "Red Corvette"?
Yeah.
Where are all of his other hits?
Well, you know what it is? It says he played "Purple Rain" and it rained.
No, that was awesome.
Yeah.
But we have this in our brains, like, oh my God, the Prince halftime show. This guy had hit after hit after hit. He gave us like three of his songs. Why'd you give us like four covers?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how disappointing it was.
Okay.
With the set list is all I'm saying.
I gotcha. So on that front, today's music is a sad state of affairs. Do you concur?
What, you're not happy about Bad Bunny playing at halftime?
I'm not going to say that, but it's like, where are these new songs? Remember growing up and how big and popular MTV was? And then Yo MTV Raps got 1 hour out of 24. You got 1 hour of Yo MTV Raps. And now where's the rock music? Where are these geniuses coming in to save the day? Where is the mix, right? Where, like, you can't even, it was a miracle they did a tribute to Ozzy Osbourne at the Grammys.
And it was very good.
It was excellent. And we're going to have Duff McKagan on the show, the bassist from Guns N' Roses, who's going to the game and a Seahawk fan.
How about
on
that? He's on the show on Friday.
Yeah, but Slash was there too. But it's like, you're just, all you have is the Taylor Swift and then the hip-hop, and it's like, what happened to the other stuff? What happened? And where's the creativity and imagination and someone to come in and change the day? Well, I don't think he was a genius. Certainly, you had the Cobain scenario, too.
Okay, I got to be honest, I can't concur with this either.
You like today's music?
No, here's the reason why. Look, I mean, we put ourselves out there a lot lately, and we admit that we sound like we're a grumpy old man, and oh my God, do we sound like we're 100 years old or what? I promise you, this has been said in every generation going back for as long as music existed. I promise you that when my parents were getting older, they're like, oh, they don't make music like they did back in the 50s. I promise you that mid to late 80s, early 90s, people said, oh, 70s music was so good.
You think so?
And I promise you that once we got out of the grunge era and it turned into like 2000, like Nickelback was all of a sudden popular. Whatever happened to 1990s music was starting. It's been like that forever.
I mean, the 70s, the Doors, Led Zeppelin.
I understand.
Fleetwood Mac. But I mean, think about that for the Who, what you had going on.
I think it's just it's a never-ending cycle.
Oh. No. Oh,
The Who played at the halftime show.
Yeah.
Oh, it's cringeworthy.
Oh, stop it. How about this idea? In light of all the Miami of Ohio talk, I don't care. It's hard to win. If you win 30 games, you get an automatic bid into the tournament.
I concur. You got me. Hook, line, and sinker.
I don't care who you play.
It's a great idea.
It's hard to win. And it also takes away this crap with conference championship weeks where if you stub your toe, you're penalized and you don't get in.
Right. And so, Paul, if it's hard to win, at the end of the year, wins should count for something, should they not?
Yeah, you see. I mean, they're winning close games and finding a way to get it done every single time. But I really think that should be a rule.
Honestly,
because what are you going to knock them out and take a team that's 500 and went four games under 500 in league play? I mean, come on.
They're again. We talked about this the other day. At the time they were -190 to make the tournament. How do we not
23-0? I know.
Right? I mean,
I know. All right.
So what? Again, under this scenario, what has to happen for them to miss? They lose one regular season game and don't make the conference title. They're out. That seems absolutely ridiculous to me. And not for nothing, this won't count, but they're an exciting team.
That's right.
They're fun to watch. Score.
Yeah. That'll tell you. 23-0, but on the 11 line right now.
Did you know that Bad Bunny won Performer of the Year? Like, he's the high, whatever it is, like on Spotify and other spots to listen to music, he's been number one four out of the last 6 years. I did not know that he's that popular. I know people loved him, but I did not know that successful. Up next, the latest on the NBA deadline, and look at tonight's card. I will give you a couple of players to look out for tonight. They have thrived since their teammate got injured, and numbers on that next here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Deadline week in the NBA has been wildly active. And so it's official, James Harden to the Cleveland Cavaliers from the Clippers in exchange for Darius Garland. Those two teams happen to play tonight. And Garland, check that, Harden is expected to play in the game. And the Cavaliers are now favored between 2.5 and 3.5 points when you look around. I'm still searching for Harden props. I don't see them. Do you think they're going to be available by tip time, which is at 10:30 Eastern time?
Well, now they're saying he's out till he'll make his debut Saturday. So there's conflicting stuff.
Wait, did they change that now in the last minute?
There's conflicting stuff now that he'll make his debut Saturday. So I thought, I was shocked when I saw the one announcement, but I can't imagine. It does look like he's going to play now either. But also the turnaround, we have to get acclimated and accustomed to a new system and such a ball-dominant player like Mitchell. Anyways, I like the Cavs tonight. Likely no Harden, laying 2.5 in L.A. Just how down and demoralized they were, we didn't know. But Clippers players did what was going on behind the scenes when he was, quote, out for personal reasons, that he demanded a trade, and that was a listless performance. They were down 16-2 against the Sixers.
Yep.
So I think the Cavs, little giddy now. And a little excited, and the movement now on their futures. They're now the third choice at numerous sports books to win the title. And they are all in on this season, and they are all in on keeping Donovan Mitchell as they trade Garland, who can't stay healthy and has the toes issues. And we know his track record in the playoffs. We'll get to that later. But what it means this year, they're not going to catch Detroit. But what seed can they get? But the big thing from the Clippers is they've plummeted. Now 65-1 to win the division, and you just lost a guy. Who knows what Garland's going to give you when he can play? You just lost a guy who was averaging 28-6.
Zach Cohen, VSiN.com, also host of Hardwood Handicappers, comes out on a daily basis. You can listen to it all over the place with podcasts. He made a case today for Sam Merrill's points over 11.5 with no Garland, and now no James Harden?
Yeah.
Okay. So he had 22 in his last game. That was against Portland on Sunday. He took 8 threes. He made 6. I've been tracking his three-point props a lot this year, but also it's been a little tricky because he's missed games intermediately throughout the season. The previous game at Phoenix on Friday night, he had 10 points, was only 2 of 7. But you would think that the usage for him and how many like opportunities he's going to have tonight are going to be there without Garland, and now definitely with no Harden. I think that's probably still worth a play. The points prop, for what it's worth, is now up to 12.5 for him,
mm-hmm.
up from 11.5.
Okay, very good. An 11-point move in the OKC game. SGA out through the All-Star break. Spurs open a 2-point dog. They're laying 9.5, 10 in some spots. And they've given them fits when they are healthy. So now you take out the MVP and the Spurs at home. Now we're in the totals plummeted 6 points as well.
So the scores this year, SGA played in these games, by the way. Remember, San Antonio started 3-0 against them. 111-109, 130-110, 117-102. Those were all in December. And then they played again January 13th in Oklahoma City. Thunder got him good, 119-98. SGA had 34 points in 34 minutes. He was plus 29, and Wemby played in that game, and he had 28 minutes on the court. That was a typical Thunder performance. They kind of had to have that game, I think, moving forward mentally. They outscored, but you know, eventually, like, the Avalanche is coming from Oklahoma City when they're playing with their A game. They outscored San Antonio 40-24 in that game. Do they have that spurt ability without SGA on the court?
No.
I can't imagine. So, obviously, betting now is completely different than when OKC was laying 1.5 last night and this morning.
Don't mind the Pelicans, 5.5 in Milwaukee. Bucks won a game, but it was against a depleted Chicago team going through all their issues and trading everybody. The Knicks,
I got a couple of props in that game.
Okay, and the Knicks are hot, too. Knicks laying 4.5 against Denver, and Denver on a back-to-back after the close loss in a great game at Detroit last night. And the Knicks, since that players-only meeting, they've been great. And it seems cheap at home tonight, Knicks against the Nuggets.
Remember last year when Karl-Anthony Towns went on that tear with his rebounds prop?
Okay.
He's in the middle of that again as we speak. Now, again, against Washington last night, they didn't have to play a zillion minutes because they killed him, but he had 14 rebounds tonight, and that was 12.5 juiced over. Now on a back-to-back and against Joker, but Joker played 33 minutes last night, and they battled back. They were getting buried against Detroit, battled back to make it a game. It's back down to 11.5 with not that bad a juice. I want to make the case for him because he's on a rebounding heater as we speak. But on a back-to-back, and then you go against a guy against Joker, I don't think it's worth a bet. Now, in that Bucks game you talked about, Sadiq Bey was on fire going back. But in his last game, he did not shoot well against Charlotte. That was a day game. Remember that. He only had 13 points and rebounds. But before that, again, the combo prop of points and rebounds, he had 24-15, and then it went to 23-40, 34-29, 30-40. He was flying over tonight's number of 23.5 in 5 consecutive games. You buy low again because of his last game being kind of off the mark. And then two guys in the Bucks who have been great with no Giannis. Kevin Porter's also missed time recently. He's back tonight. But Kuzma's PRA is 27.5. Last 5 games in order, 27, 33, 34, 23, and 47 last night. Again, to steal from Frank B, you want to use the median, not the average. The median there is 33, 27.5 tonight, and Ryan Rollins' PRA is 32.5. The last 4 games without Giannis, 36, 28, 38, and 38. So the median there is 37. Both of those numbers low tonight. But Porter is back. Does it impact it enough to actually have those guys stay under? I don't know.
Yeah.
They might be worth a play to go over both of them,
okay.
I think.
Yeah, sounds good. What do you expect out of the Timberwolves?
That's a great question.
I don't like the body language here. You got blasted at Memphis, and what message are you sending to the team that the only trade you make is to save the owner's money? I don't like it. You made the conference finals the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't try to improve the team? Which I can still come back and say, okay, good job once we get to the finish line tomorrow. But tomorrow is the deadline. And you traded away a respected veteran in Conley just to save $20 million for guys, billionaires, who just bought the team.
Well, I think what they tried to do was land Giannis. But I don't think Milwaukee obviously is biting on that.
It looks like Milwaukee's playing everybody. Just sitting back, taking offers. And then they're going to do it in the summer, and then just hold all these offers against people.
Yeah, and they're going to say
more. Who will have better offers? Everyone can offer a better package other than Golden State in the summer.
Yep, you and I kind of agree on that. That the one bet to make right now with the Bucks is for Giannis to be a Buck after the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, sneaky good move today by Oklahoma City.
How about this? McCain was the bee's knees last year.
Yeah,
they loved him in Philly. Something happened. Minnesota just shot up to 3.5. And then Philly traded him. OKC got him for picks.
I think that's a under-the-radar move, kind of like the one by Charlotte, to bring in that veteran guy in Mike Conley, but also get... Now, Sexton's good. I actually like Sexton off the bench for the Hornets. But to get Coby White, it's a pretty nice... And that tells me that... And again, going back a couple of days here... Well, probably a little bit longer than that, but they said Bridges, they were making him like publicly available. Okay, he could be had. Nope. 180 on that. I think they can still win that division. By the way, Joe, who listens to the show from Chicago every day, messaged me. He has 500-1 Hornets to win the division.
Okay.
There's also an angle tonight in college basketball. So our producer, Luke, has been tracking this all year long.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at prediction sites and then compares them to obviously the betting numbers, right? So he uses three. He uses Bart Torvik, Eric Haslam, and Greg Peterson here at VSiN. And when all three are on one side, or their projections say one team should be favored, and they're the actual dog, last 20 plays of him betting and tracking this, 17-3.
Let's go.
That would be tonight, the play is on New Mexico State. Torvik makes him one, Haslam two, G-Unit 2.5, right now at Circa, LaTeX actually favored by one. DK had 1.5 out there. But 17-3 last, and he's been betting these, by the way.
All right. Good work.
I think it, Luke, correct me if I'm wrong, I think those plays went 1-1 last night. LaSalle did not cover SMU. Actually, they did come back. Now, SMU was up by 8 at halftime, and they got hit by a ton of bricks to begin that second half by NC State. But somehow, as you documented in Win Some, Lose Some, SMU miraculously covered that game.
And I'm on a common play with humans tonight. Huge game in the Mountain West. Utah State is 18-3, but lost at Grand Canyon, lost at home lane 15 to UNLV, and they were down 20 at home against San Diego State. They had to rally to win, didn't cover. Got to go to the pit tonight. New Mexico on the bubble. New Mexico 18-4, 9-2 in league. New Mexico 1.5 tonight.
All right, very good. Here's why Minnesota shot up. Edwards and Randall confirmed now they're available to play in the game tonight.
All right.
Matt Youmans on the program coming up next. VSiN host here. We'll get his side that he likes in the Super Bowl, some props, and college basketball as well here on VSiN.
Follow the Money on
VSiN. Time for some best bets here as VSiN host Matt Youmans joins the program on the Progressive Guest Line. Matt, can you believe it? This coming Super Bowl Sunday will be the 10th at VSiN. 10 Super Bowls now. That's incredible how time flies. You were with the network on day one. First day it was on the air along with Brent Musburger. What's the story that you're never going to forget with The Godfather?
Time flies, Mitch. You're going to be saying that pretty soon when your little kid is driving a car and dating.
Not too long.
But I can't believe that VSiN's going to be on for its 10th Super Bowl now. You're right. It's amazing how fast time can fly. I know a lot of people at the time thought that a lot of doomsday sayers said that VSiN would never last 2 or 3 years, and this is going to be our 10th Super Bowl. But there was a Super Bowl preview show taped on Saturday, so we fired up the network, really fired up the website, first week of January 2017. And then there was a preview show that Brent taped with Chris Andrews, Jimmy Vaccaro, VSiN Vinny, I think on Saturday. So on Sunday was our first live show. And it was Brent hosting, and Gil and I were on in studios for the live betting show for the Super Bowl. And obviously, Gil and I were on the same side. We had the Patriots on a cheap money line price at about minus 132 or 135, somewhere around there. And Brent had the Falcons and the points. So Brent decides at halftime, it's such a blowout, early third quarter at the first time out, that he's going to check out. He said, this game's over. You guys take it from here. He gets up out of his seat, walks over to the coat rack, puts on his big trench coat and his houndstooth hat, and he says, looks at Gil and I. You know, we felt humiliated because it was the first day on the air. The last thing you want to do is look like a jackass in front of Brent Musburger, and we've got the Patriots, and they're down 28-3, right? We look like a couple of idiots. And Brent puts on his coat and his hat, and he looks at us, and he laughs. He says, turn out the lights, folks. The party's over. And he just walks out the door laughing. And so Gil and I host the show the rest of the way, and that's when the comeback by the Patriots started, and they won the game 34-28 in overtime. Oddly enough, the first ever overtime Super Bowl, and they covered with the touchdown. I think 34-28 was the final. But that was the first day on the air, and that's still one of my most vivid memories of VSIN is Brent laughing as he walked out of the studio, and Gil and I were down 28-3. I believe, Paul, you and Mitch, you guys got hired, what, in July or August of 2017? Mm-hmm. When was that?
Yeah, a couple of months after, yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought it was the summer after that. So,
yeah.
I mean,
well, Matt, this is a trivia question that nobody probably remembers. Mm-hmm. We started doing weekends, actually, in March, and then our show was actually 2 hours, and it was from 11 until 1, Monday through Friday. And we did that from like April to right after the Mayweather-McGregor fight, and that's when we started mornings.
You know what? I even forgot that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's wild. I forgot you guys were doing weekends. You know what? That Mayweather-McGregor fight was a godsend for us that summer. It gave us something to talk about almost every day.
Absolutely. And that was an all-time bad beat, too, with 34-28 and what happened with taking the points with the Falcons. Forget about winning the game. You couldn't even get there and cover the spread. So what? Anything have you added? Anything you like, Super Bowl props or more on the game?
I think when I talked to you last week, I was I played Sam Darnold over 29.5 pass attempts. I played Kenneth Walker under 73.5 rushing yards. I'm going to play Darnold to throw a pick, I believe. And there are some props at the Westgate I'm taking a look at. I thought this was interesting. You know, sometimes you can play the fun props and take a shot, and the Westgate's got one I had never seen before. Will the final score of this Super Bowl be the same as any past Super Bowl?
I like that.
And
my
prediction in the VSIN Super Bowl guide was Patriots 23-20. And 23-20 was a score a few years ago when the Rams beat the Bengals. Not to say that's going to be the score of this one, but 4-1, you get plus 400 on the yes. And there are a bunch of other stuff I'm looking at. But I did play the Patriots plus 5 in the game, plus 5 minus 105 at South Point. If you make a straight bet out there, and I think the Westgate Superbook's got the same promotion going on Friday. If you make a straight bet, you get minus 105. So I took the Patriots plus 5. And you know how I like to handicap the NFL? A lot of people like to bet on what they've seen most recently. Mm-hmm. I like to bet the opposite of what I've seen most recently. And what we saw most recently was the Seahawks running up a big number on the Rams, Sam Darnold playing the best game of his career. And we've heard a lot of talk here the past week and a half or so about how bad Drake May's looked in the playoffs, how soft the Patriots' schedule is, blah, 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 go on and on. Well, that Seattle defense actually allowed 479 yards and 8.3 yards per play to the Rams. And the Patriots' defense has allowed 8.7 points per game in the playoffs. So I think a lot of people are overlooking how good the Pats' defense is. So I'm just going to go sort of the opposite of the narrative here, and I think the Patriots are live to win this game. Definitely think the number's too high at 5. And I expect Drake May to play lights out, and it wouldn't be surprising to me. I believe in Sam Darnold more than I did, and I think most people do. But it wouldn't be surprising to me if Darnold throws out a dud on Sunday.
That's okay. Fair. That's fair. No, I stated my case earlier. Why do you like New Mexico tonight?
Why do I like New Mexico? You got one of the best home court advantages in college basketball. I love night games at the Pit. I've been there many times. It's my favorite venue in college hoops right there with Allen Fieldhouse in Kansas. But I've been watching pretty much every Mountain West game every week, and I feel like New Mexico is the best team in the conference. I really don't understand this line being 1.5. I thought the line should be 3, and I got to preface this by saying I hate 1 or 1.5 point home favorites. Hate them. I almost never play them. That's an indication of a fragile favorite. I played two of them on Saturday. One was an easy winner. One was a blowout loser. I'm going to take a shot here because I just feel like the number is wrong. Lobos right now 9-2, tied with Utah State, half game back of San Diego State in the Mountain West. Lobos 8-1 in their last nine. Since a four-point loss at San Diego State, they've scored 80 points or more in seven of the last eight. This is a team that shoots 35% from three, 75% at the free throw line. Eric Olin, the former UC San Diego coach, doing a hell of a job. He restocked this roster overnight. And like I said, I think Utah State's a much different team away from home than it is when it's got that strong home court advantage up there in Utah. You saw that displayed in that game against San Diego State over the weekend. Utah State went on the road to Grand Canyon and lost by 10 2 weeks ago. I like the Lobos tonight. I don't understand the line, I'm going to go ahead and lay the 1.5 with New Mexico.
Fair enough. Matt Youmans, our guest here on the Progressive Guest Line. Follow him on X at Matt Youmans 24/7. Waste management begins tomorrow morning in Scottsdale. Scotty's in it, and he's about 2-1 to win the tournament, which is absolutely insane. But he's that good right now. So how are you attacking the betting board here with him?
If he plays well this week and continues to play well, he's going to go off at about plus 250 at Augusta. I think right now he's around plus 315 at Circa, maybe 350, as good as you're going to get. I played Scotty, actually top five, minus 158. And Scotty finished tied for 25th in this a year ago. He was 15 shots behind Thomas Dietrich. But what you got to remember is that Scheffler had that hand injury from the knife accident in his kitchen, and he wasn't playing well at all the first few months last season. So you got to kind of throw that out. He's a 2022 and 2023 champ here at TPC Scottsdale. I had a chance to play this course. Brady Cannon and I went down to TPC Scottsdale. We took the VSIN shows on the road in the summer of 2021. Johnny Avello was down there when they were building the DraftKings Sportsbook. When you play that course, you're not that impressed. It's not that long. It's not that difficult. Without the stands and the fans, it looks like a totally different course when you play it. You don't have to be a long driver. You don't have to be a great putter. So I think that brings a lot of guys into play here this week. But Scheffler should be a really good bet, top five, two-time winner on this course. I bet Maverick McNealy, plus 310, top 10. Maverick is great on approach shots. I think at Torrey Pines last week, he ranked number two on approach shots from 170 to 175 yards. Outstanding putter. Solo 10th at Torrey Pines last week. Tied for 9th last year at Scottsdale, tied for 6 2 years ago. So I like Maverick McNealy. I like Hideki Matsuyama, also top 10 at plus 245 or so. These numbers are up at DraftKings. He's a two-time champ on this course. Tied for 25th with Scheffler a year ago. But I think Hideki's in good form. He's got course form. And then take a look at Cameron Young. He finally won a PGA Tour event last year. Tied for 12th in this last year. Tied for 22nd last week at Torrey Pines. He's playing really well. I bet him to finish top 20, but that's pretty much what I like. And I have talked with Indy Jeff Seeley today. I know he's got some bombs he likes in this tournament this week. And this is one of the best tournaments of the year to bet on Super Bowl weekend. I know a lot of people love to have action on this. I'm really looking forward to this tournament.
No doubt. Where are you going to watch the game on Sunday? Do you know yet?
Don't know yet. I've got Mike Palm in studio with me Friday night. I want to figure out what the layout is for the Circus Super Bowl parties. Obviously, there's a bunch of good parties all over town. I know the South Point's got a great one, Westgate. Where are you guys going to watch the game if you decided?
Kind of like you, undecided at this point.
Yeah. Got a bunch of friends coming into town, and they all ask, where should we watch the Super Bowl? I say, well, Circa would be ideal, but I really don't know the party set up yet at Circa.
All right, Matt, good luck tonight and this week. We appreciate
it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Great story. By the way, we get asked that all the time. Guys, I'm going to be in town. Where should I go? You really can't go wrong. Like, every spot that you go to in town is going to be really fun. In Pocket Plays coming up next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. cake.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
All right, I'm with humans tonight with the Lobos at home against Utah State. A big one in the Mountain West. Also, there's a huge one Friday night. The Garden's going to be rocking. Ticket prices are astronomical. UConn and St. John's. 5 o'clock Pacific on Fox Friday night. St. John's hot. UConn, number 3 team in the nation. Boy, we got some gaudy records in college basketball.
Yep.
Some great records.
Fun to see.
Yes, there's some new stuff trickling out. I'll share a couple in a second. This is at Will Hill and Caesars. Any interception occur in the end zone, 9-1. And this is a new one. Mitch has mentioned that before. Any reception followed by a lateral, same play. Well, there'll be a hook and ladder. And the Bills were running that, as you said, several times in the playoffs, and also they did it in the Eagle game. That is 12-1. Why not? Found that interesting. A couple new ones there. Good luck, everyone.
So the Summit League has two games tonight, one of which is St. Thomas, your neck of the woods.
Yeah, well, no Denver, though.
The Tommies are really good. They're 18-6. They play at South Dakota State. They're 11-12. Money coming in on South Dakota State. Tommies are a pick 'em. They just played not that long ago. They won by 5 at home.
Okay.
Is it telling us here that South Dakota here stayed the right side?
Yeah.
Denver plays tomorrow against North Dakota. I got to make sure I got to...
18-2-1 overrun on the season.
I don't think that's... Well, maybe. I think the game you want to play the over is going to be on Saturday when they play North Dakota State. I have them reversed. Denver will play North Dakota on Saturday. That's the game I think you want to bet the over.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not tomorrow. Last night, did you track at all or watch the Suns-Blazers game?
Another impressive win.
Portland
high scoring. Connor Gillespie, 30-10?
Yeah, he had 8 threes.
Wow.
I think Grayson Allen had 4. So I think last night was a perfect example of a live betting opportunity on the Suns. Because Portland, Paulie, they hit 8 threes in the first quarter. Klingon hit 3 before you could blink. 3 Blazers players had 10 points in the first quarter. They were up by 20. And then it was 41-30 at the end of the first quarter. The Suns were like 4 or 5-1 to win the game outright. Well, you know what happened. The Blazers cooled down from 3. And then guys like Gillespie and Allen took over. And they came back and they won the game, scored a ton of points. So that was a winner. In that same game, how about Brooks? I bet him over 24.5 points at plus 154. He had 12 points in the first quarter, played every second. Then stat correction at halftime, only has 11. He never scored again. Never made another bat. He was 3 of 16. So he was blazing hot to begin the game and then never scored. So that was a loser. But Santos, what, 13 again last night for the Warriors? That number is probably going to, well, as long as Steph's not going to play, Kuminga might not be in action. We'll see at the deadline. But over 7.5, that was a winner, something to track with him. And bet this earlier in the week. Got to go to war with it one more time. Total mess in Memphis with their current roster construction. However, they've been playing in some high-scoring games. Both of those were against the Wolves. Ty Jerome made his debut in the regular season on Saturday. They scored 114 points. They lost, but he had 6 assists, played 20 minutes. He came back, played 20 minutes again on Monday against the Wolves again. 8 assists that time, had 19 points. So he's averaging 19.5 points, and he's had 6 assists and 8 assists in these two games. He's a starting point guard. Over 4.5 right now can still be had at even money. Earlier today, it was 5.5. So the market's not buying into it. I have to play it one more time now that it's come down over 4.5 at that price.
Thanks to the tweet, James Harden's made $411 million. Traded to the Cavs so he can get one more extension before it's all said and done.
Yeah,
football meets flavor with Beeson and Omaha Steaks, official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, when you spend $129, you get 2 pounds of fully cooked wings, 50% off site-wide. OmahaSteaks.com/Beeson. Don't wait. Spend $129 and get 2 pounds of wings and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more delivered right to your door. OmahaSteaks.com/Beeson. It's phenomenal. Minimum purchase required. OmahaSteaks.com/Beeson. Couple new ones for you. Will there be a fake punt or field goal? 7-1. And will a team kick a field goal 4th-and-1? Poking fun at Sean Payton. That's 3-1. We got to get me more than that.
I don't think we have either coach involved here that would be fake field goal, fake punt guy, do we?
I don't see.
I mean,
that,
honestly,
no.
That. So, if you want the best Super Bowl props in the world, we need the Detroit Lions and Dan Campbell to make one of these games.
Oh yeah, well said. Yep.
Because anything is on the table with that guy.
Yep. Those are good. Those are creative. Another one, globally. How many times will they consult McCauley? Had coffee with him half an hour ago. Terry McCauley, 2.5. The other one is, well, there's one. Will he disagree with a call? It's a half. He does that every game.
Is he one of the guys?
He is the only outspoken one on NBC who will say, that's a bad call. They got it wrong. I don't know what he's the opposite of Steratore and that guy on Monday Night Football.
Well, McCauley
calls it straight.
You know who's going to be good at betting that stuff? The coders again.
Yeah.
Who are going to be able to like transcribe somehow like easily that they can do this with like a broadcast with him involved and find out exactly how many times in previous games do they actually go to the monitor and then how many times has he disagreed overall. But gut reaction is going to be like the over on something like that. Of course, there's going to be like three calls where they're going to have to ask the guy his thoughts overall mm-hmm. on what took place.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, also, the mention stuff, fantastic, when you put the announcer stuff in there. Like, apparently, there's stuff that Collinsworth says every game, every week.
Yeah, keywords.
That's right.
Oh, some of the stuff is
let me tell you about this guy, or here's a guy, or what a football player, and all this. It's interesting. And David Purdom's on tomorrow to talk about it in his article.
Yeah. John Hansen does a show here during the football season called Fantasy Points. It's Monday through Friday this year. At 1 o'clock Eastern, he's been awesome. Comes on with us every single Sunday. Great job diving into the player props. Here is what he thinks about Sam Darnold come Sunday.
228.5 is the passing yardage number. My opinion is Vrabel is going to make it, so Sam Darnold has to beat them. Very simple. And that means we're going over 228.5. He's hit this in 11 of 19 games, 58% of the time. Now, granted, not lately, only one of his last four, 25% of the time, but first 15 games of the year, I mean, it's a pretty big body of work. He hit it in 10 of the first 15. We're going to also, same concept and theory and thought process, I'm going to go over 1.5 touchdown passes at minus 118. He's gotten this in 9 of 19 games, 47% of the time. Now he's only hit it in 2 of his last 5, 40% of the time, and only in 4 of his last 10, 40% of the time. But, you know, we are talking about a game for all the marbles. He is coming off his best game, and we do think they're going to make sure or make it so Darnold that they have to win the game because of Darnold, not because of Ken Walker. But of course, we're definitely going over 0.1 interceptions. He's hit this in 9 of 19 games, 47% of the time. Now only once in his last 4, but it's for all the marbles. So we are going over there.
All right, makes sense.
Okay.
Question mark?
There's a lot of good matchups here, and one of them, can they contain JSN? And I know we played Vrabel earlier, Will Campbell against DeMarcus Lawrence, and a couple viewers have sent in some props thinking, hey, how about Lawrence first sack, first fumble recovery, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
As I know there's a write-up today, Campbell has given up pressure rates of 17.2, 12.1, and 15% the three postseason appearances. His average for the regular season was 11. That's also coming with plenty of help that the Patriots are giving him. So you went up against Khalil Mack and Anderson and Hunter and Benito, but he's had a rough go of it in the playoffs, and maybe that could decide with a big Lawrence play and a big play from the Seattle defense.
Let me ask you this, Paulie. Based on his breakdown there, if that's how the game's going to play out, and so Walker's not doing much, they got to resort to Darnold Moore throwing with the arm. You can find as low as minus 117 for him to throw a pick.
Yeah.
Most turnovers in football this year. Minus 117 feels like it would be worth a bet.
Yep.
On the flip side, May is as high as, well, he's in the 140 range. How about a parlay of both guys to throw an INT?
Sounds good.
I feel like that's going to happen in this game.
Yeah.
May is going to be under a ton of pressure. Yeah,
that's what the guru says.
Both defenses are so good. And they're also like elite at stopping the other team's running game. So if they can't run the football, we're going to get passes here, and I would take my chances here of at least having one of those getting picked off. So many things can happen. That's it for us. Stay tuned. Primetime's next. You're going to get Matt Brown, Mike Somich, hardcore Super Bowl talk, best bets that they like on the game. Dustin's going to follow, cashing out live Radio Row in San Francisco, and you can wake up tomorrow early morning with Dave and Jensen VSiN by the book, 7 a.m. Eastern. Go get him tonight. Best of luck.